Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Time to check in with the tech contributor for the Business Times, Wong Kai. This is Tech Talk, and we're checking out the world's fastest new supercomputer. AMD and Cray have announced that they're building Frontier, a new supercomputer for the U.S. Department of Energy at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Okay, Kai, fill us in. What processors are going to power this fast computer, and how fast are we talking?
So there's going to be some very big numbers coming up next. So the goal of this supercomputer was to deliver a system that can perform 1.5 exaflops. So to put that in mathematical terms for anyone listening who is very familiar with 10 to the power a lot. So it's 1.5 times 10 to the power 18 operations a second.
So, well, it's like
10 with like 18 zeros behind it.
Wow. Okay, that's fast.
Goodness.
And that is super, super fast. So basically the computer will be powered by, well, lots and lots and lots of processors. And in fact, this time it's AMD. So it's Intel's rival AMD that has gotten the contract to build this supercomputer. They are going to use some custom versions of AMD's EPYC processors. And they're going to connect up to AMD's graphic processing units as well. And it's all built by the company. So it's a big win for them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what kind of simulations, Kai, is a computer expected to perform once it's up and running?
So this supercomputer, I'm just reading, it's going to run a wide range of simulations and experiments. So basically, the computer is going to simulate machine learning situations, machine learning workloads. Basically, it's going to simulate how a machine works, another machine works, if that kind of makes sense.
Okay.
And it's going to be used in this kind of task in addition to the more conventional weather and nuclear weapon simulations. You know, your run-of-the-mill kind of weapon simulations.
Yeah, that need quintillions.
I just
learned that exaflops translates to a quintillion, which has 18 zeros
exactly,
behind it.
Exactly, that's right, yes.
New word of the day. Now, let's cross to Asia. There's a new king of the hill when it comes to computer game revenue. And according to gaming intelligence firm Nikko Partners, China's domestic game market is expected to grow from $30.8 billion in 2018 to $41.5 billion in 2023. Why am I not surprised? But what are the forecasts for the PC and mobile gaming segments in China?
So this is a good reason to start playing computer games.
As if we needed another
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, as if we need another reason. So now you can play computer games and, you know, like, I don't know, earn money or something since esports is such a big thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So as we have discussed, China is in fact the world's largest market for PC online games. It is absolutely huge. So just to give you some context, so domestic PC online game revenue just in China itself was $15.21 billion in 2018. Revenue is forecast to remain strong, but growth rate is a little bit low. So by 2023, this market should reach $16 billion. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we're looking at the domestic mobile game revenue. It was $15.63 billion last year, which in itself was up 28.9% from the previous year. And this is the big shocker here.
Mm-hmm.
So revenue is forecast to reach $25.5 billion by 2023. So look at mobile gaming is absolutely just going bonkers. It is a huge, huge market in China.
Okay, give us an idea of the gaming landscape, Kai. I mean, who is spending so much money on games?
So, I mean, we're looking at Tencent, obviously. Tencent, the big Chinese internet giant. They are also churning out games like nobody's business. It is huge, huge, a huge market there. So Tencent and NetEase are the two top game PC and mobile publishers in China. And foreign developed games comprise about 60% of total PC games revenue in this market. And esports, obviously, is a very big long-term growth driver for the PC online games market. And this figure, so the Chinese esports market, is projected to reach $9.5 billion in 2023, which accounts for 59.4% of PC online games revenue. So, I mean, just looking at the numbers right here, we're talking billions already. And
yeah, I started giving out gaming mice to little children for Christmas gifts to encourage them.
Yes, it's part of the whole hand-eye coordination of their formative years.
Yeah. Hey, new job ahead. All right, Google is going all out to capture a larger slice of the mobile pie and burnish its mobile hardware credentials. Google has launched the Pixel 3a and 3a XL in Singapore just yesterday. They're two affordable offerings meant to expand the reach of Google's phones. So what's so different about these phones and how are they key to Google's mobile strategy?
So I actually brought one of the phones in. I went for Google's launch yesterday in Singapore. So this is the Google Pixel 3a XL. Mm-hmm. So just to remind the listeners, so Google actually released the Pixel 3 last year. That was a high-end sort of phone for them. It's their high-end hardware aspirations. But the phone costs, I mean, off contract, it costs, you know, off the top of my head, I think it's about 1,000-ish, so $1,200 thereabouts. Mm-hmm. But this phone, the one I'm holding here in my hand, is just $779. So it's half price, but still packing a lot of great hardware. And I think this is where Google really realizes, you know, that, hey, our phones are not getting into the hands of so many people. We have to lower the price point, right? So basically what they have done is kept the things that they are known for. So the camera, for instance, like Google's Pixel cameras are super well known for their low light capabilities, you know, great fidelity and all that. But they had to build it down to a price. So the phone is now made out of plastic and the screen is slightly different. The processor is downgraded to one that about two notches down. So it's not as speedy as the Pixel 3, but I think for just using it just for one day, just from yesterday to today, it works almost the same as mine. I mean, my own phone. I couldn't detect, you know, any noticeable stark difference between these two phones.
Well, it looks like a very cool phone. It's like a flat phone that is like almost like most other smartphones.
It is a slab of black plastic. let's call it what it is, right?
It actually looks a lot slimmer than your own phone next to you.
Oh, that's because I put too much stuff on my phone.
Okay.
So yeah. So if you take out a case on my phone, it's actually much slimmer.
Okay. Well,
but Google is actually, I think they go in the right direction, bringing down the price. You know. Sort of, have a look at it, bringing down the price and trying to get their hardware into the hands of many more people, because Apple's iPhone, was it the XR, I believe? Yeah, it's selling really, really well. And that's the sort of, low end. Yeah, the cheaper version of the iPhone, shall we say. We can't say low-end when it comes to iPhones.
A cheaper version. Cheaper version. Okay, now, before I let you go, Kai, I think you got a tech tidbit for us today.
Yes, so did you know that Microsoft is actually one of the largest corporate collectors of art? Like Microsoft is one of the largest corporate collectors, which actually started in 1987. And today, Microsoft owns some 5,000 art pieces. And to curate all of this, they actually have like people full-time curating the art collection.
Inventory and all that
inventory,
kind of thing.
Everything. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So the Microsoft Art Collection was launched in 1987 by a committee made up of employees who were interested in collecting and displaying artwork created by artists from the community. So apparently Microsoft has had a long history of supporting the local art community, you know. And this is, which other company have you seen or heard that has 5,000 art pieces in there?
5,000
art pieces. 5,000 art pieces, exactly.
Oh, goodness. Mm. Good to know.
Well, thank you very much. We'll be playing with that phone for a little longer. That's tech contributor for the Business Times, Wong Kai, joining us in Tech Talk.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.